You're braver than you believe, and stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think. Welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., coming at you live from the great city of Fort Lauderdale, home of Florida Man, where the weather is always fantastic, even when it's not. And that is going to be the theme of the show tonight. Fantastic stories. Podnuts Pro is your podcast for IT business support. We do as much as we can to help you run your business. We provide you with products, stories, and tips to help you run your IT business better, smarter, and faster. And we are going to do that with the help of two very good gentlemen tonight. Coming in to the stage right now, Mr. Matt Foreman from the local circuit out of Denton, Texas. Matt, how are you?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I am doing good. And that's a nice little logo you got there behind you. Look at that.
Yeah.
Okay. And also, what was that?
So I had to get all professional to be on the podcast.
Well, this is the pro show, so.
And last time I was doing it from my bed.
Yeah, you shouldn't have said that. All right. And also join us tonight from the great state of Florida, Ron Cervantes from C Solutions, Inc. Ron, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, Marvin. Thanks. Yeah. I'm not as professional, but I did remove, you know, the clothes that were on hangers behind me on the ceiling fan. So I'm a little more professional.
Oh,
no logo, though.
As long as you didn't say panties hanging from the fan. The wife's clothes. That would have been fun. Guys, how are we doing?
Doing well. You know, that that quote that you had is funny. Hold on, say it one more time.
So the quote is, you're braver than you believe, and stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think.
Yeah. So one thing always goes through my mind, well, I taught for an online university for quite a few years, and I used to get students all the time, right? Did IT courses, and they would ask me all the time, like, how do I know when I'm ready to get a job? How do I know when I've learned enough? How do I know that I'm ready? You know, and my response to them was, if you can deal with feeling stupid every day and getting over that and moving on to the next time you feel stupid, then you know you're ready. Because I say, I mean, I've been doing this for, you know, 20 plus years, and I feel stupid every day. But that quote kind of, you know, drilled into me, because I've had, you know, bad instances. And you talk about like the mental health and how we're trying to keep ourselves healthy and all that stuff. I came across something that I just kind of latched onto a little bit, called imposter syndrome. You ever heard of that?
I have.
So where there's days, and if you talk about having bad days, where you're like, why do these people ask me for help? Why are they even want me doing these things for them? Or you just question your abilities and things like that, and you just have to, like, you know, kind of snap yourself out of that. So yeah, that kind of like a little Al Franken moment that you just did, you know, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough.
Fake it till you make it is the
That's what
everybody says. So when you say imposter syndrome, so of course, you know, in real life, that is something that people really do need to pay attention to. But the best, the best visualization I have of imposter syndrome is from The Big Bang Theory. Did you watch that show?
I did not.
Matt, you're shaking your head. You watched it?
Mm-hmm.
So towards the end of the show, before it went off the air, so the main character, his name is Sheldon Cooper, and he's, you know, they're all brainiacs, basically. It's a show about nerds, and then they meet girls. And so Sheldon is the main character, and I won't go into the others, but his girlfriend is a lady by the name of Amy Farrah Fowler, who is a neuroscientist, and they collaborate on some project. And there was another couple, but it was two guys that somehow accidentally proved the theory that Amy and Sheldon were working on. And it turned out that they were going to be nominated for the Nobel Prize. And so, of course, it was Amy and Sheldon versus these other two guys. But these other two guys were just, you know, like nincompoops, you know, compared to them. They were kind of like us, where we stumbled across something and we all of a sudden were up for the Nobel Prize. And so they're parading around to all these parties and functions. And Amy and Sheldon know that these two are frauds. But they were told to just play nice and play fair. And they're at this function and the guys are like making jokes. And, you know, so Amy and Sheldon decide to quiz them on the theory that they were. And I forget how it gets to, but it basically gets to the point where Amy Farrah Fowler just starts screaming at them in the middle of this party saying, "You guys, you feel like you have imposter syndrome. You can't, because you are imposters." She just yells at them. And that's what I think of when I hear imposter syndrome. But
yeah.
Oh, that was a horrible segue.
That's fine.
But glad that the quote meant something. I actually was wondering if I should continue those because, you know, they're not the Ben Franklin quotes.
Right, yeah. Right.
That everybody got so fond of years ago. But anyway, so let me ask, guys, normally I ask about the weather, but since Ron is here in Florida, we know that the weather is great. It was actually a hot day down here. It is still 94 degrees right now down here, by the way. Matt, what's it over in Texas?
I'd have to look. It's been actually really pleasant this week, minus a little bit of rain and, you know, a few tornadoes and but that's what we deal with this time of year anyway.
So. My phone says 79, Marvin, which is nice. It's a nice and it's breezy. It's nice.
Wow, that's a big change because right now
it's a big change.
It is 94 degrees with a real feel of 92.
Mm.
That is absolutely insane. So there's
sounds sticky.
There is my phone to prove it that I'm not making it up. Oakland Park.
I'll share. Feels like 81.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, there we go.
Matt and I are closer.
We have done the weather check. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to the next segment here that I think you guys will find fantastic. And we are going to go in the news. So, if you are somebody that has not yet booked your vaccine appointment, you can now book your appointment and get a ride to that appointment in the Uber app. The new feature is part of a host of product news that Uber announced today under the rubric Go Anywhere, Get Anything. The company is banking on a big comeback to help make up for the steep losses it suffered during 2020. The vaccine appointments are being offered nationwide through the company's previously announced partnership with Walgreens. And since February, Uber has been offering free rides to Walgreens stores for people who book a vaccine appointment but do not have a transportation and live in an undeserved community. So, folks, if you haven't yet got your vaccine and you need a ride, call Uber. And in local news, a Broward County resident was indicted Monday on 40 counts of government theft in connection with a scheme to steal more than 37,000 stamps from the United States Postal Service. Between September 11th and 13th of 2019, Jeffrey Allen Grant Jr. of Fort Lauderdale visited 29 offices in the Palm Beach and Broward counties using 40 personal checks to purchase 37,100 stamps. He was found out because his bank account had insufficient funds to cover the checks. So as a result, the United States Postal Service lost approximately $20,405. That is your Florida man story.
I was going to say, that would be like killing two birds with one stone there.
It's just fantastic.
I'm curious on the Uber thing, how you prove your, you know, that you're, what was it, the un...
In an undeserved community?
Yeah, and or that you just don't have a ride, or if anybody, you know, if they're going to ask you to prove something.
I don't know.
Do either of you get your vaccine yet?
No comment.
No comment.
I try to keep politics off the show, so I don't want to incite a riot one way or the other. Because, you know, Florida Man was, you know, part of the storming of the Capitol, so I have to be careful.
Oh, no. Yeah, I know. I had COVID in January. So
you
I
did personally?
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. It was a tough one. I definitely, for sure, struggled for, it took me 8 weeks, I'd say, until I was back to 100%.
Wow. We know people that had COVID, and my sister and her nephew were thought to have COVID, but they did not. So we are being extra careful down here. We still have some issues. So,
yeah, my dad passed away just 4 weeks ago from it. He lives in Las Vegas, and so he got it in October, and struggled with it the whole time. He was in the ICU for the entire time, and finally, just in February, he lost it.
No, sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
But I will say the one thing I can say, hopefully that will not spark a political riot, is just listen to the news, be safe. If the place you're going to tells you to wear a mask, just don't fight it. Just be safe. You know, don't think about you, think about other people, and that's it. So
I agree.
I go see clients. I'm always masked up, and I'm usually the only one.
The only one. That happens a lot to us down here too. I walk in a lot of places, and I'm the only one with my mask on. In fact, I've had customers come to the office, and we've got big signs on our door saying, you know, you must have a mask to enter. And of course, people walk up, they're like, "Oh, I forgot my mask." And I'm like, "All right, I'm getting mine. Don't worry about it." And then I kick them out as soon as I can.
Early on, I had some clients that were like, "Thanks for wearing a mask." I've had others that said, "Why are you doing that? You're young, you know, you'll be fine." But
all right. Tom Bull is watching the show live. Thank you, Tom. And just posting his message there for Ron. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Which reminds me, if you are listening to this by audio at a later date and you hear us talking in a way that makes you think, what am I missing? Well, what you're missing is the live video, which we have been doing for quite some time now. We are live streaming to both YouTube and the Facebook, and we have been doing this every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. So if you follow Podnuts Pro on either Facebook or YouTube, you can always get alerted when the new shows are. You can join and interact in the chat and ask questions, give comments, and participate that way. We might even be doing something where we can get people to join the show. If we start talking about something and you're like, "Hang on, wait a minute, that was wrong," or "I can answer that question," we will find a way to get you guys into the show. I have been toying with Clubhouse, which, first of all, you have to be an Apple person to have it so far. It's an iOS app where you can participate in chat rooms through audio. I don't know if I like it or not, but I'm thinking of adding that so that people can come into the show through audio only in the Clubhouse. And I do have a feature where I can take phone calls, but I haven't done that yet either because it's a lot of work doing what we do as it is. So, but just to let you know,
takes all your calls.
So just to let you know, if you, like I said, we are doing this live every Wednesday night. You can catch us on YouTube or the Facebook. And you can always, of course, go to podnutspro.com after the fact to find any of the previous episodes. You can get both the audio and the video there. The links will stay. And you can subscribe. Actually, the term has changed. I don't know who changed it, but it's no longer subscribe. You can follow directly from the website using any of your podcast catchers. So whether it's Apple Podcast or Google, Spotify, if you want to get the feed for Podnuts Pro directly onto your phone or mobile device, you just follow on your favorite podcatching app, and we will be there in your mobile device that you can listen to when the shows are released. And I should probably also say, if you go to podnutspro.com, try to use the Edge app. And the reason I say that is if you use Edge, and don't ask me why it's only Edge, you will see on the homepage of Podnuts Pro that at the top will be a bar that tells you about Amazon purchases. And the one that I did this time was recent purchases that I've done. So some of you ask, you know, hey, how can I support the show? A lot of you don't, but some of you should. How can you support the show? Well, you can do it by going to Amazon and use the link that I have put on the page, and you can do it from the search bar that is there on the homepage, or you can click on the store in the tab, and there is a link to go to the Amazon store. Of course, you could put a shortcut to it in your favorites, in your search bar, whatever that thing is called, favorites bar, is that what it is in most browsers?
Bookmarks, yeah.
Bookmarks. But on the Edge app, you will see the list of Amazon stuff that I put on there. So, for instance, as I make a visual taboo of typing and going to the website on a video podcast, podnutspro.com. I should probably share this, shouldn't I? That way you guys can see. So let me see if I can do that real quick. And share, window, there. So if you can see right now, the homepage of podnutspro.com, as I scroll down there, I have my recent purchases, and these are things that I've purchased that you might say, hey, I think I like that. You can click on there, go to Amazon, and any purchase that you make, once you click that link in that session, the price stays the same for you, or you can click on anything else. And we will get a portion of proceeds back to Podnuts Pro. You can also come down here and do a search for Amazon. So if you are just wanting to support, and you want to say Synology NAS, and you can do a search and find all your stuff there. So that's something that you can do from podnutspro.com. And of course, if you click on an episode page, for instance, last episode, Protect Your Money with Rayanne Buccianico, click on that, and as I mentioned, the show is there with the video, the audio, your follow links, and on the right there, oh, look, a shop, connect, and enjoy with Amazon icon that you can also support the show. So I don't do that very much, so I should do that more often, say, support the show. And I should say thank you, because I know that people have done it, because so far for the month of April, we get $12.
Ooh.
Thank you.
Wow. Rolling.
Yep. Show me the money.
I just listened to that, and I'm going to butcher her name, Rayanne Buccianico.
Buccianico,
right?
Yep.
I just finished that today, actually. You were talking about the taxes in the state and all that stuff, and she was saying that Florida is one of the more simpler ones, which I was surprised at.
I know.
I was surprised at that. There's one Florida tax rule where if you sell a product over 5,000, you charge the full tax rate for whatever it is in the county, right? You know, the surtax and the county or the state tax. But then any amount above that is just the state tax.
Right.
Yeah. And that always just screwed me up. And I suppose QuickBooks has gotten smart enough to handle that and all that stuff. But I had to put
No, it hasn't.
It is actually. Well, I take that back. You're right, because I had to create. I'm actually one of probably the few ConnectWise users of your listeners that I hear of, because everybody does Synchro. But so I use Manage, and so I have all my tax rules in there, and I will push them to QuickBooks, and it will pick it up there.
There you go. Yeah. QuickBooks itself, if you did it, you would have to do it manually. You'd have to create the different tax codes, which we did.
What I found is for the very first time, if I have like a new county that I haven't done business in, I have to create a fake invoice with a part. So it'll do it. And then I'll delete the invoice, and then it knows what to do with the tax after that. So it has gotten a little bit smarter, but it won't do it upon the first initial thing.
Yeah. We went through and did the state tax, the surtax, and then we did the ones by county. So every customer, we have their tax line specific to them for their county, and then it creates it after that going forward. But that was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time we get a client in a different county, I'm like, gosh, darn it. You're getting charged extra for this one.
Yeah.
They got to go through all that work, make sure it's all accurate.
Yeah.
Do y'all have a state income tax?
No.
Nope.
No. Nice. Good.
That's why everybody wants to come here.
There's us, Nevada, and then there's a couple of weird ones that don't have it for whatever reason.
We don't have one either.
You don't have one either, huh? Hmm.
No complaints there.
Yeah, no, I'm good with that. Less work, less do it. Yeah, I'm good with that.
All right, so we don't really have any set upon topics for tonight, but let me just ask, guys, do you have anything that you'd like to chat about? I've got a couple of stories that I can bring up, but let me ask you guys, do you have any stories? Or tips or products?
Matt?
Rants? Raves? Complaints?
Complaints? Clients? We did have a first today. A couple of my guys went to a client and to look at her docking station, and her door was just like kind of cracked, but the light was off. So, and it was one of those motion sensor lights, you know, you just walk in, they flip on. And so they just went on in there thinking she wasn't there. And the light flicked on, they walked around the desk, and she was underneath her desk asleep with headphones on in her office. And then when they woke her up, she was acting like she was looking for something, but she had literally been down there long enough for the motion detector to turn off, which is a good amount of time. But that was a good laugh we had today.
Did they ask her if her name was Costanza?
that was our funny story of the day. Anyway.
Is that the worst thing you've caught a client doing?
No. And since this is a public show, I won't talk about it.
Okay. I've got one of those too. Ron, how about you? Any weird situations you've caught a client in?
Nothing weird. Caught a client in? The typical stuff of, you know, where I've got someone who says, hey, can you take a look at this later? I'll leave it on tonight, you know, and I'll step in remotely. And of course, he's got his full, you know, adult content just up on the screen. He left it. He went home with it. It's just sitting there. I'm like, all right, whatever you got.
I think we all have one of those stories.
Yeah, always. It's funny. I'm not going to tell that one. I'm not going to tell that one. I could complain about a client. I have one. They're fairly new. Super nice. I really like them. But, you know, I mean, I think we all can agree that you can kind of train clients a little bit. And, you know, if I'm gonna get my car fixed, I don't buy my own brakes and bring them to the mechanic and say, put these on for me. But, you know, they're buying their own equipment. So they say they got a new PC. And I tell them that I prefer to purchase the equipment myself. I want, you know, tell me what you're going to use it for and I'll buy the equipment, you know. But they bought their own PC. They bought an i5 or an i3, 4 gig of RAM. They sprung for an SSD, but they wanted to run Adobe, you know, Cloud Suite on it, all these other applications on it and all this stuff. And I told them, I said, you're going to be miserable with this. This is what you would get an elderly person that just wants AOL, you know? So, but she goes, fine. She goes, buy me one. And I said, so I bought it and then ended up just putting that in there. And then they send me to the next user that they bought a printer for. And I set it all up for her. She connected the wireless herself. And then I just went and installed it for her and all that stuff and got it all set up. And she goes, well, how do I scan? And I go, what? She goes, how do I scan? I go, this does not scan. She goes, well, it's got somewhere to put the paper in. I said, well, that's a second tray. You know, I'm like, because I just assumed she knew what she was getting, you know, but I'm like, this does not scan. This is not going to, she goes, oh no. And it was a big giant printer too. I mean, it was, you know, I'm like, you know, like a kind of a little bit of a workhorse. And I was like, okay. So they just kept it. They're going to give it to someone else and get a different printer. But yeah, just frustrating sometimes when I'm like, I, you know, help me help you, you know?
So do you have any kind of statement of work or in your MSA or anything that says you can't buy your own hardware that, and expect us to support it without us approving it or anything along those lines?
I do. So I have it in there that I can turn it down if I want to, basically, you know. So Marvin, I'm sure you know that, you know, Bradley Gross has done a lot of that stuff for me already. So I have, you know, the MSA and the statement of work and all that. So that would be in the MSA, you know, for that what's there. But yeah, it's just that if I want to be, I'm not going to say a jerk, but you know, if I want to stand behind it, I could, but again, mm-hmm. they're kind of new. I'm going to train them, you know, and hopefully that will get worked out in the end.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, I find that to be a fine line. I mean, we have it as well. And I mean, for that exact reason, I don't want somebody throwing in a Walmart special on the network and trying to run CAD on it or something, you know? So,
yeah, I try to turn it into a teachable moment, you know, hey, I'm sure you got a great deal on this, but look, I'm going to spend so much more time on this than you would want me to. And I'm just telling you that it's, you know, I think it ran in a Windows update on there. It was 45 minutes before it came back up. You know, I mean, it's just like, this is going to be miserable. So,
yeah.
And the clock's a ticking that whole time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people realize they'll spend more on you fixing the cheap POS than just spending an extra $300 or $400 or $500 to get the right thing. I mean,
they don't.
Yeah.
And that's where finding those clients is. There's lots of people that need help, but then you have to find the ones that will value that. You know, trust your judgment and say, look, I trust you. Just buy what you think I need and we're good, you know?
And those are my favorite kind. I've got clients like that are just like, you need this, this, and this. Do it.
Do it.
You know, they trust you to do your job versus I don't want to spend X just to, you know, do this or whatnot or fight you on it, even though you've got their best interest at heart. Yeah.
I had a doctor client, you know, and her husband, we had friends in common, I think. So I would see him posting pictures of his home that was getting built. I mean, it was like a $4 million home. And she was moving her office to a different, to a different office. And I gave her a quote for, you know, moving all the equipment, cabling the new office and all that stuff. And she goes, how can I afford this? What am I going to do? How, you can't do this to me. I was like, the price is the price. What do you want to do? She is no longer a client. That was done.
I would venture to say that a lot of the, and I'm not going to group them all into this, but most of the doctors that we have worked with have turned out to be those type of clients that are penny pinchers and don't want to spend money on anything. With the other ones that typically have a lot of it. So,
it's all relative.
Yep.
I suppose if I'm building a $4 million house, I might pinch some pennies. I don't know.
Yep. I, lost, well, I shouldn't say lost. I had a long-term buddy of mine who every now and then we'd help him with his computers. And when I say every now and then, like, once every 3 years, he wants some help. So he finally merged with another company and thought that he would do me a favor and recommend me to be the IT guy. And that the company that he was merging with, they're a big company. They're, you know, they're a $5 million company. So money's not an issue with them. And I said, okay. And this was supposed to be close to 30 workstations. And I said, all right, that sounds like a good idea. Well, come to find out, they had a tech, or shall I say a junior, on staff who was doing the job part-time and was doing the best he could because he, you know, never had any computer training and would just, you know, figure it out as he went. But they had a company support them that they hated. And so what they thought is that they would get me to come in and replace that outside company. And once I met the tech, I'm like, there is not a chance that I'm going to be able to work with them. And the way I found that out was when I looked at their server closet and saw that they had two workstations acting as servers. They had hubs instead of switches. He was doing backups to USB drives. He was building his own computers. And he was using Orbi as the network Wi-Fi, which nothing wrong with Orbi, except that I would never recommend that for a business. And I forgot what else they were doing. And so they were asking me, well, you know, we may want you to come in and support us and do all this. And, you know, what's your hourly rate? And I said, well, I really don't do anything by the hour anymore. We all do contracts. He's like, yeah, but we don't want to do that because we, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I said, okay, $150 an hour. I said, okay, guess we won't be doing business. It's just like, you're going to claim to be a $5 million company that doesn't worry about the price, but yet, as soon as I say right. the hourly rate, you're going to, you know, gasp and I'm like, that's fine.
Touch my pearls.
Even more so, I mean, a company that does that type of money that doesn't want to invest in tech, to me, puts off an alarm, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you want to know how much of an alarm I found out?
Zap.
Just today. So this was like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. Because, of course, the only reason I got the call was because they were going to be moving in 2 weeks and needed help. So I'm like, oh, you should have told me sooner. But regardless, I gave them an estimate to do the move. They didn't use me for the move. Mm-hmm. Today, I get a call from Mr. Tech. They've hooked up the plotter. It's a printing company. And so they've got a large format printer that they hooked up. And we hooked it up exactly the way it was at the other place. And I'm like, I don't think you did. Because they had a real server, a real domain. So if you hooked it up to your network, it's not the same way. And so once we get past all of that, they can't connect to the printer. And he's like, I can ping it by IP. I just don't know why I can't print to it. And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? He's like, well, can you help walk me through it? And I'm like, okay, well, just because you can ping it, are you even pinging the right device?
Yeah.
He's like, well, I gave it the IP address. I'm like, how did you? So we go through all of this. Come to find out, there was no link light on the network connection at the printer. He didn't know for sure that he had connection. And I said, okay, well, obviously, if you're pinging an IP address, you must be pinging some other device on the network. He's like, well, I ran my scanner and I don't see it in use. I'm like, what scanner? And he's some angry IP or something like that. And I said, well, why don't you go to your server and look in the DHCP manager? And he's like, well, how do I get to that?
Oh.
I just said, you don't know how to get to the DHCP. So I literally had to walk this guy through how to get into a server and find DHCP and look at what IPs. It was just a mess. I was like,
oh,
wow.
Boy. Oh, boy.
I'm like,
sounds like a price increase to me.
So, Marvin, what were those instructions you gave him real quick?
Go to server manager. It was just, oh, my goodness. He couldn't find. I'm like, how in the world do you? But, hey, he's running a $5 million network, so.
As long as his bank account's happy.
Matt, do you do any co-managed at all? No.
Won't touch. If we're not in charge of it, then won't do it.
There seems to be a market for it. I mean, if the right opportunity came up, you know, I would be open to it. But and there's definitely certain ways to handle it and agreements and all that stuff. But
I'll be honest with you, Ron. Unless you're willing to put in your own help desk and, you know, have people staffed, I wouldn't try to do it.
No, I'm not looking. I'm just, okay. I hear that there are some, you know, some bit larger ones. That's not something I would be able to handle.
It's getting to be more and more of a market because the problem is so many people think that they can do it themselves.
Yeah.
And they want to save that money, but they want somebody to be available if they run into problems. And that's where, if I hear that as part of the intro, I'm not your guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of whose responsibility is this problem versus that problem. And I mean, I know it could be all laid out, but you know, the end users aren't going to care about that. They just want it fixed and they're going to probably call the first person they can think of. And I just see more. I mean, I'm sure it works out and I know there are people that do it. It's just not something that we have our stack and the way we do things. And I think it works great. And
well, that's what I'm thinking, because at this highest level, I mean, it could just be that they want a security stack of some sort that you have access to that necessarily they don't, or mm-hmm. that's something that's reasonable price. I mean, because you have your licenses and all that stuff and you're at a certain level, and they just need, you know, a handful of things that they could have it.
Yep.
Well, what I've been telling people is the bottom line is the world is getting too crazy and compliance is really going to be a bigger and bigger part of IT, to where if there is a breach, if there is a malware, there's a ransomware, there has to be somebody that the finger gets pointed to. And if we can't control it, then we don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line. I can't have somebody with, you know, admin rights installing whatever they want and then, you know, wanting to call us to bail them out if something happens. I mean, the money might be good, because at that point, you know, are they really going to complain about the rates if, you know, they got to get their server back up and running? But it's all those other times where, you know, they don't need your services, but want you to be on standby. That's the problem I have.
Yeah.
You know, I know we haven't talked in a couple of years.
Those are the ones you don't feel guilty for.
Right. Yeah. I know we haven't talked in a couple of years, but, you know, I could really use your help. Yeah, you could have used my help for the last 2 years, too.
Yeah. I have no idea what's changed in that time. Yeah. I don't even know what anything is anymore. I don't have your records. Yeah.
And that's a big part of, I think, just liability. I mean, that's the big part of it for me, I think. So too many fingers in the pie.
Yep. All right. So any of you guys using Synology?
Oh, yeah.
Just starting out, moving or setting up a lot of the backups. I really like the free 365 backup that you can get on them. So I think that's a nice addition to the stack, so to speak. So,
well, I'm gonna speak blasphemy here, but I just replaced two Datto NASes with Synologies. And you probably can't see it, I have another one down here that I'm going to be replacing one of my Altos with the Synology as well.
Were you having particular problems with your Dattos?
So the short answer is no, but the customers were having problems with the price. And many of them don't need the 1 year retention or the infinite retention, and they don't want to be spending $400, $500, $600 a month for their backup. And they know that there are less expensive alternatives out there. And, you know, I spent the last year looking at alternatives. I like Datto, but, you know, I've got a couple of customers that are spending over $1,000 a month on their backups, and we could probably do it for half that. And it's not that I want to get away from Datto, but the reasons, these are companies that they don't value the importance of a Datto based backup. Mm-hmm. And as long as they can get their data, they don't need, you know, the instant VM.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And as long as they know that they can go back, you know, a couple of weeks, they're fine. They just want their data backed up. And I'm like, all right, I'll look at some other solutions. So I've looked at the Synologies, and I've actually paired that with a company that I'll be having on the show later called Backup Assist. It's a company that I used before I used Datto. I left them to go to Datto, and now I'm going back to them because they have a MSP-like offering where you can license their software. It's $10 a month, but you bring your own storage.
So are these VMs, or are they just standalone servers?
You have the options. So the package that I got is basically you can do an image backup and you can do a file-based backup. And then it will work with some sort of S3 compatible cloud. So I can do an image backup and then swing it up to the cloud. So that's what I've been doing. So at $10 a month per server, I do that. And right now, I don't know if it's going to sound great or not, but this is what I'm doing. And I'm using the Synologies with Wasabi as the cloud backup.
If it's a VM, I'll always go straight to Altero. I've been very pleased with that. And that's $10 per server. But for an MSP, it's a minimum of 5 servers you have to have. So it'd be $50 to get going. But I've got more than 5 VMs running in clients' areas. So, and then you can choose your destination for that. You can either push it out to Azure, and they just actually added Wasabi as well. So I will push everything for them to that Wasabi because it is it's cheaper from that standpoint.
Right.
But I've used Altero for, I don't know how many years, 8+ years, something like that.
Really?
And yeah.
I've heard of Altero, but I hadn't heard of anybody using it. How did we not talk about that before?
I don't know. I love it. It works fantastic. I'd say that probably the biggest competitor to it is Veeam, but it's just, it works. I've gotten decent support from them. They're overseas. But I've really enjoyed using their software. There's a couple gotchas here and there, such as you can't do, blanking out here. I don't think you can do a restore of the VM from the cloud. It has to be local. So you can do file-based restores, from either one, but I think you have to do an image restore locally. So you back it up locally and then it pushes everything to the cloud to an offsite copy. Yeah.
Okay. Backup Assist is the same way. If you want to restore from an image from the cloud, you got to download it first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For standalone servers, I'm using, I can't stop calling it CloudBerry, but the MSP 360.
Okay.
and that's been working well. In fact, I actually have, a client that has servers in a data center, and they're sitting on hardware that's just really old. And I was pretty impressed. Took me a few days of troubleshooting and some tech support from them, but they were helpful just through email based tech support. But I was able to take an entire Hyper-V VM and throw it straight up as an EC2 instance, just like nothing's changed except for the IP, everything identical. And they could just hit the ground running. It took about 12 hours to get that image up there. And I can do a differential, but I wanted to do a straight shot and see. But it was a very easy way to push some stuff up there, which was nice. And they back up to Wasabi as well if I do like a local storage or just the backup itself if it's a standalone server. Right.
So I've liked it. So I just did my first invoice where I think my cost for 1 terabyte of storage.
$5.
Well, yeah, with Wasabi, but including the NAS and everything. Did I save that invoice? Probably not. Because, by the way, the wife is gone for a week, so I'm having to do all this by myself. So. So my cost between the Backup Assist and the Synology NAS and the wasabi is, come on, hurry up, faster, faster. So my cost, I don't even have a calculator handy.
Do, 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 do.
Is $36.
There you go. Yeah.
That's what I'm charging them. That's my cost per month.
Check with them. Oh, one thing I do have a, if there is a pro tip for wasabi, check with them, because when you, if you have a certain retention for them, what is the thing? If you set the retention to delete after a period of time, you still get billed for it, for that deleted data for a period of time, unless you tell them, oh my gosh, someone's going to have to chime in somewhere. There's something with it, with being billed extra, even though you've deleted the data.
Yeah, I saw
unless
that.
You tell them otherwise. I can't remember what exactly the details on that. Someone would probably correct me on that.
Yeah, I saw that. So I've just had my second bill from them, which wasn't much. I mean, it is, I mean, we're talking, I've got, I don't know, seven devices pushing up to there right now. And I think my bill was $8. But they also had on there, when you do the billing stuff, where it talks about how much transferred up and how much was deleted.
I saw in your purchases for Amazon, for the Synology, I saw it was a 710. Is that what you got there?
So I got the 720 plus.
720, okay.
And the 920 plus.
Okay. I'm curious, what is the reason why you purchased a 720? Because you wanted to be able to have the option to expand the storage?
So, the 720 is the two bay.
Right, but it allows for additional.
Well, it allowed for the NVMe memory.
Oh, okay. All right.
So those two models, they were a higher core, and they allowed for the NVMe memory addition. So especially for the ones
the 220
that are,
plus, I think the 220 plus does too, does it not?
Oh, I don't know.
I thought the new ones did.
I thought it did too.
I'm asking just because I thought there was, like, you could do a storage expansion module or something like that. You can connect it to another one to get like another five bays or something like that for the 720.
Both of these will expand if you daisy chain them.
Yes. Yes.
I remember I used the NAS selector and I forgot how I came to looking at those two, but it was something where I did, you know, the number of cores and number of users and such and such. And those are the ones that came up in my selection. And looking at, like I said, especially the cores, because, I mean, even though all of them are, you know, they're not super fast processors.
Mm-hmm. No, they're not. No. So anybody using it for production, like just for everyday use, apart from?
So my one client is, they're using it as their daily NAS. Mm-hmm. And then I'm using the built-in Hyper backup to do their backup to the Wasabi.
Okay. If they're using, because I have a couple that are using for standalone, just straight up file server. And I love that. If I have a client that has a server that, if that's all it's doing, I want to get that server the heck out of their office. I don't want to deal with it. Just put the little box there and they're very happy about not having to pay for a server again. But I'll use that, the C2 backup, which I really do like to work with that, because that's kind of baked in. And there is their, Synology's cloud storage instead of having the Wasabi account with that.
Yep. So here's, So the reason that I selected them was because they had the 4-core CPU.
Okay.
Which the 220, the 420 only have the 2-core.
Got it. I use one at home. I think I would say everybody should have one at home. I have it set up so that my kids, my wife, myself, when I walk into the house, or anytime my phone connects to Wi-Fi, all my pictures get backed up to it automatically. So I don't have to worry about them going anywhere. If my phone gets destroyed, they're always on the NAS and that all gets backed up.
Nice.
All my TV is on the NAS. Everything runs through it.
So another thing, Ron, when I go through the NAS selector, if you select expandable storage capacity, the 220 goes away.
Correct. Yep. So that's why I was wondering if you were getting the 700 or 720 in case you wanted to. I was wondering if that was part of it, but that was my curiosity.
Yeah, on those, I mean, that was the lowest that I did just because of the two bays. But if I want to do expansion, I actually got the 920.
Yes.
And I start with two bays, and then I'll add storage later. And then I was looking at the 1520 and 1621 if I really want to
go crazy.
Yeah.
I have the 920 for myself at my house. Actually, our friend Mike Wise sent me a link one time. He goes, check this out. And I'm like, holy cow, it's like 150 off. So I bought it immediately. That was in November, I think. So I don't know if it was
there may have been. Those things are, they're hard. They're not in stock very much right now.
No, they're going away a lot.
Even the 220 pluses are hit or miss sometimes.
Yeah.
Looking at them.
Now, what apps are you guys using? I did find the Hyper Backup app that I seem to like, and there's a whole bunch of others. Are you guys using any of the other apps?
Not a whole lot for myself. I know you can run full AD on it, and you can join it to domain, and it can run group policy, which is basically running. I mean, group policy has not changed a whole lot since 2008 R2, and that's pretty much what it's running. So you can do that and run that whole area. But beyond that, with a lot of, I know that Matt said he's looking to use the 365 backup. I have not done that. For that, I'll usually just go to Drop Suite. I do want to look into it, and I don't know what their compliance capabilities are, but maybe Matt can chime in on that.
I'm not sure, but we use Drop Suite too. I've got some people who we offer Drop Suite to that didn't want to pay for it. So, just the ability to have a local backup of their 365 at really no cost to them because it's free. I mean, besides just integrating it with their Azure and stuff. But so that's been a huge just little selling point to put these boxes in. We're not really using any other apps. We use it a lot basically for just local. Some local file storage, but mainly for backup locations and things like that.
Yeah, I've had a construction companies, contractors, roofing. I've got a granite a countertop company. So when they go on the job and they're just taking pictures, right? And so I'll install the mobile apps that you can. I don't know if you guys have looked at the mobile apps that you can install related like the DS File, DS Photo. And so if they take a picture and they're out in the field, it'll go straight to the NAS where they're at. I mean, there's nothing they have to do. It'll just go straight there and they can create their own folder, all that stuff. And so it's a nice way to push a lot of their data across there.
So I've not looked at all that. I looked at, like I said, the Hyper Backup. They've got that Active Backup. And then I saw the Active Backup for 365. So is that what you're using, Matt, on yours?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I think so.
And you could do a NAS to NAS backup, I believe. That might be underneath the Hyper. No, I can't remember what it's called. Is it Hyper Backup as well? I think that's just an option underneath there.
Well, so there's Hyper Backup and then Hyper Backup Vault, which I think the Vault is where you would
send it to.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
That's right, because you would put it on the other NAS so that it would listen out for it. Yeah.
Yeah, if I can ever get better internet here, Comcast, I would I would start hosting stuff again, and I'd host back up to here. But
so I don't want customer data in my office. I don't want any type of liability like that. I've thought about setting up something like that, especially with the NAS boxes, but I just don't want it.
That's where a lot of people met with the 365. They would just throw a server in a data center, and then for the 365 backups and stuff like that. I've heard a lot of people doing that. I would not feel comfortable doing that either. I would say that from the standpoint of I don't want to manage it. I don't want to have to go in there. Is everything okay? Right. There's some people that would be fantastic at doing that, and it's just not for me.
one less thing we have to worry about.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I will tell you this, the one nervous moment that I had. So I've been purchasing these. I've gotten four so far. I've purchased two off Amazon and two from Cinex. And one I got from Amazon. It loaded up just fine. Installed the NVMEs. Went to go configure that. And it took a dump. Couldn't get it back up. And I thought, no worries. I'll just pack it back up. Do a return on Amazon. And all will be well. No. Amazon, I believe, has gotten wise. And they won't take direct support on a lot of stuff anymore. So they just won't. They would not approve the return until I spoke to somebody at Synology.
What?
Wow. That's a first.
I've never heard of that before.
And so I don't know if this is new or if it's just happened to me this particular time. So I got pushed over to Synology and got on with, you know, Michael, whose real name was probably like Joshua Sean. And of course, now I had already spent over an hour trying to get this fixed myself, went on Synology support, looked at their stuff, how to reset, how to do. So I'd already done all this. And of course, what does Joshua say to me? Well, can we try this? And I'm like, no, I don't want to. I've already done this. And I show, well, I can't show, but I mean, I'm telling him, I've already gone to the support. I've done this. I've done this. I've done this. Well, no, we still had to do this. And then he had to like, well, hang on. Let me talk to my manager. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. It took me an hour and a half to get them to approve the return.
Wow.
And I'm like,
you know, you bought it straight from like,
right.
Was it a distributor or was it a, like a Synology store that was Synology?
That's what it sounds like. Because if it was like a true Amazon purchase, usually it's just, I mean,
you know,
I'm exaggerating, but you probably could have smashed it to the pieces and put it, you know, sent it back and they're like, got it. Thanks. Here's your refund.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that is bugging me about Amazon now is you don't know where, if you don't pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to look.
Because
even if it says Prime, it could still be coming from a third party. Yeah,
we've had I don't like ordering on Amazon. I don't do it unless one of our vendors doesn't have what we need. But we had one client that had a, you know, a little micro form factor Dell that they wanted duplicates of, and I couldn't find them anywhere else. So we ordered them from there and they got here. They were Optiplexes that came with Windows 10 Home on them, even though they're advertised to have Pro.
Yeah.
You know, and then we got a same issue. The guy wanted another all-in-one that matched exactly because they were going to sit next to it. The only place I could find it, that particular model, again, was on Amazon. It showed up this week and didn't even have the styrofoam inserts in it. It was just in the box and the screen was shattered. I mean, there's no quality control, I don't think.
I haven't had a lot of complaints.
So I only order as a last resort, or if it's just for us, if it's for my business or my home, I'll order from Amazon, but I try to go through my distributors. And I think what happened is when I ordered from Synology, they were coming from California and it would have been too much of a cost to, you know, second day them or overnight them. So I think I just went to Amazon. I found it, you know, next day. Mm-hmm. So I did that and that's how it happened. But on this particular one, it says ships from Amazon, sold by Amazon.
Okay. Well, that's that.
But I was frustrated because I'm like, you're kidding me. Of all the times where I need support, you're going to push me back to the vendor. I'm like, I might as well have dealt with, you know, waited for Cinex.
They probably get, I mean, it may be something with the dollar amount too. I mean, I don't know what you paid for it, but I mean, I think I remember reading an article several weeks back about a guy who got busted for sending tens of thousands of dollars of stuff back to Amazon to get his money back. And he was shipping them boxes of rocks, you know, much like the hubcap you got in the mail the other day. So They may be.
That wasn't a hubcap.
Sorry, the wheel. Excuse me.
I'm gonna share that real quick. So if you're watching the show or if you are listening, you need to go to the video and get to the 1 hour mark and look at this. So let me pull this up. So let me set this up. So about 3 weeks ago, we get an email from Tech Data. And it basically says that if you are going to return an item, you have to refuse the box at the time of delivery instead of waiting, you know, a day or two and then returning it. Because I guess people were just, you know, it used to be that you could just send the box back without getting approval. But it sounded like people were sending it back and not getting the RMA, which we always did. So we get that email, and I wish I had planned ahead to get it. But so I remember that email, and this particular time, we had the boxes come to our office, which for those of you that don't know, so I've got my office here, but most of our stuff doesn't come here. When I started my business, I opened up an account at a Mailboxes, etc., which is now called the UPS store. So my address has always been, for 24 years, that UPS store. But I have this office, and then we just recently opened up a box at another UPS store that's closer. And that's a whole nother story. But anyway, so we had these particular boxes come to our office, and those boxes, 16 APC battery backups. So we had four boxes, and we opened up the first three, and we get to the fourth box, and this is what was inside that box.
Yeah, it looks like an air fryer just at a first glance. <I know.
laughs> And it was weird because it was funny because, you know, I was just kind of picking up the boxes and moving them to the back. And then my wife picked up this box and she's like, this doesn't feel like battery backups. And so we opened it to find that inside. And it literally looks like it's an 18 wheeler rim.
So did you check and make sure that it was not just the FedEx guy bringing you a box? It was somebody else's?
No, it was. Let me just do this. It was actually, because I took a picture of this too. And I actually took a picture. I have to open this up in Paint, F11, share screen. Because we actually had to take a picture not only of the box, but of the label to show that it was.
Here goes our head sideways.
Yeah, sorry. But it's delivered to us. It's actually box 204. And even though it says from MB Systems to MB Systems, Tech Data allows me to do white label shipping. Mm-hmm. So if I send this directly to a customer, it looks like it's coming from us. Mm-hmm. So I had to, and so I get an email, you know, I call Tech Data, tell them we refuse the shipment. They're like, okay, no big deal. So I've been getting emails. So this is how retarded it is. So they told us we'd get a credit. It's been a week. So I sent them an email saying, hey, haven't seen the credit yet. What's happened? And then, of course, the guy's like, can you remind us what we're talking about? I don't remember. So I have to regurgitate, you know, the call again. And he's like, oh, okay, thank you. Can I have the FedEx shipping number? So I ship him that. Then he's like, okay, I'll provide an update. So today I get the update. This all this stuff happens today. So today he says, I found the items that you refused. Okay. In this case, since you received items that are not sold by Tech Data, the best course of action should have been to let us know that you received items that did not belong to your order. I'm like, you idiot. I told you that. I told you it was an 18-wheeler truck rim and not five battery backups. So then I have to provide them the invoice number, the items received, the items not received, the serial numbers of what wasn't received. I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding me? So I don't know what's happened to Tech Data. Tech Data used to be my favorite distributor out of the four.
They've got a warehouse maybe 25 minutes from the office. So, I mean, I used to use them years ago, but have gotten away from them. But it was nice to be able to just go down there and do will call from them. But
yeah, they're too far for me to do that. There is a Miami warehouse, but it's too far. And 75% of the time, stuff's not in the Miami warehouse. Mine's got to come out of either Georgia or New Jersey. I do get stuff from the Texas warehouse if I order like it. If I'm ordering at 4:50 and I'm afraid that it may not ship out that same day, I make sure I order from the Texas store so that it actually will ship, since you're an hour behind me.
Wonder if the FedEx guy just ripped your label off and took home some APCs and slapped it on a random box in a trailer.
Could be. And we probably should acknowledge that Brian is in the chat and has to gloat and say that he has been lucky with Amazon purchases.
I would say I have too. I don't have any complaints, and probably most of my stuff I get purchased there as well. I have a D&H account, but man, I can't. That's rare that I get through for something. I tried to sign up for a Synnex account, and I think they wanted both my kidneys. That was really hard.
Synnex. So Synnex
is really bad.
On the list of distributors, Synnex is number four. And I actually don't have terms. They're the only vendor I don't have terms with. So I've got the most credit with Tech Data because I've been ordering for them almost 20 years. They were my first. Mm-hmm. Second is D&H, but they were starting to slide because of the FedEx issues last year when it took 32 days to get my packages. Third is Ingram Micro, who I didn't want to do business with them because they would not take my business unless I listed, I couldn't have the UPS store as my business address. Mm-hmm. And I said, the whole reason the UPS store exists is to give people business addresses. And they're like, yeah, but we can't have that be your primary. So if you want to list one of your others as your primary, and I said, no, thank you. So the only reason I had to go back to them was to purchase Adobe licenses, the one-off TLP licenses. It seemed at the time only Ingram Micro would sell those. So that's the only reason I went back to Ingram. And when I went back to them, they didn't have that requirement. And then, Ron, you and I talked before the show, my number five distributor, which is moving up, B&H Photo.
Yeah.
I've had to order several Synologies and a couple Unify switches from them lately because nobody else had them in stock. My biggest problem with Amazon right now, I mean, besides the damaged good, was just their delivery. Again, not grouping them all, but their delivery drivers need some work. I mean, they just leave our packages. I mean, we're in a downtown area, you know, busy streets. They'll leave them upstairs, out on the street, down in offices that don't exist. They call probably twice a week for their driver to get instructions on how to get to our office from the door. Mm-hmm. Even though I went into my Amazon account and wrote up like stupid, open the door, take your step, go left. I mean, just laid it out how to get here. One of them called me from the elevator because she couldn't get to the basement. She's like, I see a 1, 2, 3 and a B, but I don't see a basement. I don't know how to get here. She's like, you know, but it's been a hassle since we moved to the new location, getting them to actually get our packages to us.
So you've gone in and actually done the adding of the delivery instructions. Mm-hmm. I never paid attention to that until a couple of days ago I looked at it.
There's two ways to get to our office, one upstairs through the basement and on another side entrance on a main street where you just come in and go down the stairs and you're right here. And I mean, I got sick of them not being able to find us. So I literally wrote, you know, step by step what to do to get to our office from each door, and they still can't get here 80% of the time. So it's a
I use the gift receipt all the time. I like a gift if I drop it off at a client. So I, because otherwise it will, it puts the little square piece of paper that shows the price of everything. So I just do the gift receipt inside there. Hmm. Say this is for so and so. So it just, so it doesn't put that in there.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. I have to be careful if I order from Amazon and I put it to this address. Mm-hmm. Because we have, so I've got a shutter on the front door. It's a, one of those roller shutters. So mm-hmm. when we leave, you know, for night or whatever, I'll roll the shutter down. But if I come in on Saturday and there's a chance that Amazon will deliver on Saturday and that shutter is up, they will leave the package right in front of the door. And we are literally on a busy business street. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, that's, so I have to leave the camera on so that I can see if Amazon has dropped my package off for some reason, if there's a Saturday delivery. Otherwise I try to be here for a couple of hours just to catch them. So that's my one issue with Amazon.
The worst I've had was from Dell. Their FedEx dropped a $6,000 server on the sidewalk upstairs outside in the rain one time. And that I nearly lost it with that, but luckily that, the server was fine. But I mean, just freaking common sense.
Dell gets funny. Well, because they have the FedEx and they would want you to sign, but then when COVID came, they didn't want signatures anymore. Mm-hmm. And I remember they would show up and, you know, I'd see him on the doorbell and I could talk to them through the camera and like, just leave. He says, I need a signature. Says, no, you don't. You just need to know that I know you left it. And here's my last name. And he's like, okay. And then just left it and just walked away. It was, like, it was funny how the, you know, their policies changed with things. Obviously it's going to, but you know, like, nope, you don't need a signature anymore, even though you used to require it.
Yeah.
So the last name thing, the worst for us is if they ask, you know, what's your last name?
Yeah.
I say B. And then they look at me and I said, B, spelled B as in boy, E-E. So if you go in to UPS and look up the signature receipt, there's a lot of times that it'll show the signature name is B-B-E-E. I'm like, guys, I need a better name.
So, Marvin, do you own a van?
I do not.
You do not. I didn't think you did.
No. No, but that was the catchiest name that I could come up with. And so we have talked about getting a van.
Yeah.
Because this would be a prime location to have a van at, you know, at night on the weekends with the company name on the side. But then I'm thinking, I don't want walk-up customers. Mm-hmm. And the only reason that it would be nice to have the van is, you know, to have the logo and roll up to a customer's office and, you know, but I think I'm still happy rolling up in the Jeep.
Yeah, we've got a truck that's wrapped. I've got a Ram 1500 with a camper on the back. It's fully wrapped with our logo and all kinds of stuff on it. I can't say that I've ever gotten a call that says, hey, I saw your truck, you know, but I mean, I guess it gives it somewhat of a more professional feel, but I don't know if I'll wrap another one or not.
I went to a PAX 8 event one time and this one guy was talking about having his own, you know, MSP at the time, and that he had his, you know, he had to get a truck or a van, whatever, and he had it all wrapped. But he also put on there that it was like truck 11 or something like that, even though it was the only truck he had, you know, so that people would think that, oh, he's got a whole bunch of trucks, you know?
Yep. Nope. Man in the Van is, it's still active, by the way. If you go to maninthevan.net,
yeah,
it still works.
All right.
So I was toying with it. It's coming up on 5 years. I got the domain for 5 years and we'll have to make a decision soon. Do I keep it or dump it?
Are you guys all using QuickBooks Online
mm-hmm.
for things? And are you accepting payments through that or do you expect payments through a different way?
Through QuickBooks, yeah.
So when they forced the charges on ACH, how'd you handle that?
Angry. Yeah, I don't know it. I wasn't happy about it, but I mean, I think this is you know, not surprisingly, probably been their business plan for quite some time. I mean,
right.
We've been working hard to get, you know, most of our clients to ACH. So, I mean, we'll still be cheaper than paying the credit card fee on some of the, you know, the monthly billing from some people. But, and then I've got a lot of government contracts. They won't give me the bank account. They want a check, you know, that type of thing anyway. So
is the charge really $3? Because I have QuickBooks Desktop. Mm-hmm. We're using QuickBooks for our merchant, but I don't have any ACH customers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think it'd be only QuickBooks Online that they made this change, because there was a time that they were, you could send ACH out or offer ACH out to any of your customers, and it would take 5-6 days to get that money, but there was no charge for it. So QuickBooks came out and says, guess what? This is amazing. You're going to get your money the next day, but we're going to take 1% of it, I believe, up to $10 of each transaction.
What?
But you're going to get the next day. And it was just, this is amazing. You're going to love it.
They moved to like 50 cents or something first, something stupid cheap.
You could opt to. Yeah. You could say, hey, I'll get my money. You could get your money faster if you pay on a per ACH transaction. And they probably just didn't get enough people to it. And they said, or maybe they got enough and said, maybe we'll just do it for everybody.
Yeah.
But so I ended up opening up one of those, the QuickBooks Cash account, Matt. I don't know if you saw that. That's an option there.
Yeah. I'm getting pop-ups for it.
So I did sign up for it. It took me 15 minutes. And that is one way to avoid the ACH fees. And it will also generate interest. And another interesting thing about it, for any of those profit first people, you can create separate envelopes from within that account and be able to separate stuff out. So it's something I'm looking into as well. So we'll see. I just have to keep moving money around and stuff, and we'll see if that works out well enough.
I'm actually just cracking that book open. So
yeah,
all those other books have been great. Great, great, great. Yeah.
So I went back and I'm looking at my QuickBooks. The one time that I did something other than a credit card was an e-check, which I'm assuming is different than ACH, or is that the same?
I think it's different.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm guessing.
So I had a $3 fee on the e-check on a $1,200 check. And this, if you haven't heard the story, this is the customer that had the partners that split. And this was an e-check for the disputed invoices that they were late on. And then that partner, after they submitted the check, disputed it. So I got a $10 fee after that. And that's when I'm like, okay.
Was that the one where there was three companies?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I listen.
Yeah,
I disputed it. I don't know, dispute. I called QuickBooks and let them know that I was pretty unhappy with it, and then they shoved me off to the merchant services for a account review, and they, you know, tried to appease me by lowering my credit card rate by like 0.003% or something like that, just to make me happy. So, but they wouldn't budge on the ACH at all.
When that happened, you know, when I was coming through, I said, well, maybe I'm going to take another look at Connect Booster, because, you know, that might be something just to nudge me toward that way. So it's still on my radar. In fact, I'm actually going to, I'm going to get a steak for lunch tomorrow. I'm going to an actual little lunch event that Connect Booster is putting on, just down the road from me here. So I'm going there from 9:30 to 1, and I'll get myself a fat steak at Del Frisco restaurant.
Nice.
So I'm excited for that. It's taken up my BNI slot, so I had to find a sub, but I'll be heading out there. Mm-hmm. To see what they have to say. And
so
I'll get some phone calls.
Hey, Ron, so there's another event coming out. So I got a call from this company called IT by Design.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who they are, what they do, but they called and said, oh, we saw you clicked on a link. So turns out the link that I clicked on was for a Robin Robbins event that's happening next month in Orlando. You going to that?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't. Send me some details. I'll check it out, but I don't know.
Well, let me tell you this. If you want to attend the virtual event, it's $2,000.
Oh, yeah. No, thanks. I've got the ASCII on my radar.
Okay. That's in October, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to that.
And then probably the MSP Unplugged. I'm still looking at that. But, you know, I got to say, you know, when you guys put that stuff together for the Matt, did you go to DC on the convention by chance?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I mean, there's people I'd never talked to. So, but that whole thing opened my eyes like huge. And I've been really searching for that over and over again. And it hasn't been quite the same, you know, like the takeaways as it was that one time. You guys did an amazing job that weekend in DC.
You'll probably struggle to find something like that at most of the big conferences.
Oh, I know. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
They're vendor based.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I like the smaller ones. Like I went to the AVIC one out in California, this last one they had, and I liked it because it was small and they didn't have they had some vendors, but not a lot. But a lot of it was focused around just people talking and getting. You know, you had your one on ones with people like Carl Polachek and and things like that. So there was a lot of education, I guess, to it, and I really liked that more than a lot of the ones I've been to. Now, Datto throws a good party, but they're pretty vendor heavy too.
Well, I go to the IT Nations and the IT Automate ones too. I went to the past ones and they're not cheap, but there's a lot going on there. And
yeah, I mean, I've always gone. I mean, when we were a SolarWinds shop, we went to every conference they had, minus the very first one, I think, in New Orleans. And I always brought something home from it. Mm-hmm.
Like glow balls.
Glow balls, yeah. Weird name tags.
Yeah.
And good pictures of my staff doing passed out on the lawn and things like that. So
that reminds me, because you guys were talking about making fake business cards, right? Mm-hmm. So you can just drop them in or get whatever you need to do, so you're not bothered afterwards. That's the biggest thing. Yeah, there was a time when I wanted to evaluate vendors. I really wanted to look through all that stuff. And so, and living in Orlando, IT Nation's right there. So I would just drive over there and, you know, be able to get what I want to have done and, you know, all that stuff and go through the sessions, but I don't need a hotel and I don't need a plane ticket. So it helped a little bit, but now I'm just getting a little more solidified and I'm like, I don't know what I want to get all into it.
ASCII's decent. I mean, I like the fact they've got, Mikalowicz, the book guy, playing and whatnot, doing the circuit this year. But they do a lot of vendor stuff too, but not bad for like a 1 day little conference.
Yeah.
And I like they buy you a hotel room if you travel like 50
miles. That is nice. Yep, 50 miles.
So that's
very nice of them.
Yep. So, Ron, you mentioned you guys. So I'm not a part of the TechCon planning committee, just so you know.
No, I know. I'm telling you when you did the unconvention,
okay.
You guys did an amazing job with that. Yes.
Well, yes. I wanted to go ahead and just mention the people doing it. TechCon Unplugged, Jeff Halish and Parker LeBron of MSP Unplugged, September 17th through the 19th in Chicago. They have updated the website. So they have listed the vendors that they will be having there. Mm-hmm. So they've gotten a few more vendors. It's still, at least if they follow the same format as last year, it is still, you know, very heavily tech-based. So most of the sessions are led by techs. They may be partnered with the vendor, but I'm speaking from last year's experience. I don't know what doing this year.
Yeah, I don't mean to say that. I mean, I had a great time at TechCon not last year. Was it? I must have so confused on time frames.
2019.
I guess it was, wasn't it?
Yep.
But yeah, I had a great time out there. I don't know. There was something that was just, I don't know, that really stuck with me from DC from that one time.
Yeah. Well, the Toronto, the very first unconvention, and the DC were pretty good. The third one, which got renamed to ITO Compass.
I went to that,
which is run by Lori Tsunami. Was that for Tishnai? Tishnai, is that her?
I believe it's Tishnai.
I call her Tsunami.
I know.
So she does that. I think, I don't know when their next one is. I haven't been to.
Well, she did one not very long after that. Like she did, it was like September, and then she put another one on in the spring.
Right.
And I did not go to the spring one.
And I do want to give a shout out to Lori. She was down here in our neck of the woods. She got stranded over in Clearwater. Oh, yeah. Her and Bill were doing some sort of boat transport or something, and they had.
She's always on a boat. I don't know how you get work done.
She's got it made, man. I guess she's got her business model down pack. So Mr. Mike Smith called me to see if I could get them in contact because, you know, he's over there. So he was supposed to meet up with her. I didn't follow up to see if they got to hang out, but just a shout out to Tsunami. And
at least she didn't get stuck in a canal, right? Yeah. Be worse.
I don't think the kind of boats that they used would go down a canal. Those are pretty big boats.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I saw where she said she's going to have another one in the fall sometime and then resume the April timeline next year. Don't hold me to that, but I thought that's what I read. Maybe earlier this week or last week.
I don't know. We'll have to reach out to her and find out. I don't think I'm in her group anymore in Facebook. I got to find out. I'm in so many groups. You know, I did a thing today. Don't ask me what. I'm a part of 73 groups. Do you guys know how many Facebook groups you're in?
Not that many, but more than I think is appropriate.
I don't know how I got how into 73. So I was trying
to... It doesn't tell me a number. I'd have to... Did you manually count these?
No, I was trying to do... So listen, I'm trying to be Mr. Social Media Guy. So I was trying to figure out a way. Facebook took away the feature to where if you want to share a post, like for instance, when I announce when the shows are on Facebook, you used to be able to just click share and you could pick all the groups at one time and it would share the post out to all the groups with one click. Well, in February, they took that away. Apparently because people were spamming groups.
Yeah.
So you have to select a group at a time to share. So I'm thinking there's got to be a way to do that. So I was searching this morning because I had a 10 o'clock cancel on me. So I'm like, I wonder if there's a way to do that. So I was searching programs that you can integrate in Facebook that would allow you to, you know, post to many groups at once. And they all say they can do it, but none of them can. Or let me rephrase that. I found one that can do some groups, but not all. And I'm assuming it has something to do with the settings of a group where it doesn't allow, you know, just anybody to post. So there was one that you have to connect.
You need a marketing person.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I need. So there's this one app, I think it was called Agoster or something stupid. But you have to tie, it's really weird, and if I can find a Facebook person to explain this. So you don't just attach your Facebook group, your profile name. You actually have to go into either Chrome or Firefox into those special settings, you know, where you hit F11. And there's a place where you can find, there's like a CS name and an XS name of your Facebook profile. And you take those and you put them into this program and then it tells you all the associations that you have. And I had 73 group associations. That's how I found out. And I'm looking, I'm like, wait a minute. I don't know this group. I don't know this. Yeah. I don't know how we got added to these groups.
I just counted. I'm at 46.
I've literally, I don't know, 2 days ago, went on a purge in Facebook and started clearing myself out of every group that I'm not like actively involved in. Yeah. And I have one of them.
Yeah, there's some that I could leave if I wanted to. The handful of any Plex fans out there? I mean, I have some Plex groups that I keep up on. People just posting stuff.
So let's do this. Let's use this as a time to end off the Pod Nuts podcast portion, and we'll stay through the break and do a little bit of a post show.
Sure.
Because since you mentioned the Facebook person, I want to tell you guys something that can't be public over the airways just yet. So we will do that. So
I have no idea what you're speaking of.
I know. So, hey, Brian Clark says love Plex. So Brian, stay with us here through the break and we will chat more about that. I do want to thank you all for participating. If you have been watching, thank you very much. If you have been listening, thank you very much. And we will be back next Wednesday And I believe next Wednesday's guest is an old friend of ours, another Florida person, transplant, Lisa Hendrickson. And we're going to share some crazy stories next week. So thank you to Matt Foreman. And I probably should have done this at the beginning of the show and apologize to Mr. Foreman because I misspelled his name. And I gave him. I gave him the spelling of George Foreman.
And he's my uncle.
Yeah. If you can get some of that uncle money, it would be worth it, right? So Matt Foreman and Ron Cervantes, thank you guys for hanging out. And for everybody else, join us again on a upcoming episode of Podnuts Pro. Go to podnutspro.com, check out other episodes, click on the Amazon link and help support the show. And that's going to do it. And until next time, holla.